Folks, it is big, it is mean, and it is hard-hitting. And I'm not talking about USC and UCLA going to the Pac-12. I am talking about Keldrick Faulk, 6'5", 240-pound Alabama defensive end. Not for the school, for the state, because Florida State just stole him from Auburn and Clemson to bring him to Tallahassee, and we're going to tell you why he is an incredible get for a class that's shaping up to be one you should be very excited about.
You are Locked On Seminoles, your daily podcast on the Florida State Seminoles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, folks, real quick, we love that you come to Locked On Seminoles each and every day. You are the lifeblood of this program because without you, we're just dudes yelling at the wind. And because we care about you, we don't want to prematurely end good conversations. So sometimes we run a little long. So today's episode, well, what was going to be today's episode, will actually end up being a two-part episode where we discuss today Keldrick Faulk, commitment from Highland Home, Alabama, defensive lineman, a great prospect. And we start the discussion of what it means that USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big Ten. Then we're going to stop. And then we're going to come back to you tomorrow with the rest of that conversation. So it's going to be a two-parter. I think Drake and I really got into the nitty-gritty of what this could mean both for college football, what it could mean for Florida State, and then how Florida State could possibly leave the ACC. So make sure you guys check out this whole episode and then come back tomorrow for part two. I won't waste any more of your time. Subscribe to the YouTube, follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. I'm Max. I love you. And let's get this episode rolling.
The following is nothing legal advice. Have fun advice.
That's legitimately true. There's no legal advice in here.
Yeah, no legal advice here, folks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Locked On Seminoles. You got Max here. You got Drake there at Tally_Drake, the underscore so nice, you got to hit it twice. Then you got me, Max Moody, 17 on Twitter, folks. It's been a big weekend. It's been a long weekend. America had a birthday, although being a history major, I've always found that phrase a bit odd that we call it the birthday when America wouldn't be born as America. We know it for 13 more years. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, that's okay.
Nerd. Go look it up.
I'm just saying, we declared it. But then it took us 13 years to win a war, establish
like
a Confederacy, establish
Scott,
a Congress.
Declared bankruptcy in the middle of the office.
Yeah. So, you know, it just, anyway, I could go down a whole tangent, but I don't need to. Love America's birthday. It's a great holiday. Drake, I hope you had a good one. But there were fireworks before 4th of July ever started. And that was USC and UCLA jumping from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. I mean, boom, it was a rocket shot, right? There was a rumor and they came out and they were like, no, you're right. That's what happened. I mean, it was literally like Dollar Bill from the Showtime show Billions sending his wife the whole thing about his mistress when the guy was like, I'm going to tell your wife you're cheating. I was like, here, I'll do it. Boom. You're like, whoa, that was metal. But before that, we have bigger news to discuss that came after that, right? But we're going to talk about it before that. Keldrick Faulk, 6'5", 250-pound defensive end / wide receiver in high school. He's not going to play that for us, though. At Highland Home, Alabama, committed to Florida State. And folks, this wasn't your usual summer commitment. This was not a Twitter note screenshot deal, was it, Drake? It was a hat ceremony. It was a t-shirt on, had the Auburn hat, had the Clemson hat, had the Florida State hat. He grabbed the garnet and gold, threw it on his head. And I just want your instant reaction. What was your reaction first when you saw we got the kid? And what do you think the immediate significance of this 4-star defensive lineman from Alabama committing to FSU?
This commitment is as huge as this kid is at 6'5", 250 pounds. This is something that we really, really needed overall because momentum-wise, recruiting does not look great right now in our favor, especially when you see what's going on right now over at the University of Coral Gables, where Miami has jumped from, I want to say, outside the top 30 to now actually being inside the top 10. And this also goes to show that how we've been looking at Atkins a lot, basically, as being the best recruiter on staff. But Pooch is right there. He's number two easily. I think he's done a really good job, you know, molding these kids, coaching them up to be getting the next level. And then with Keldrick Falk, he's a top 100 kid. He is also in the top 10 at his position. And that's just something that we have said a lot, that basically we need to win more games. But we and I have discussed this ad nauseum, where you're not going to win more games without better kids, but you're not going to get better kids without winning more games. And this is actually a step towards in the right direction, where this is a top tier get. And it also shows that you can still beat an Auburn, an SEC school. You can still beat out Clemson, who I don't know what they're doing with recruiting right now, but they're actually starting to pick it up a little bit. But it was a little more interesting, to say the least, when Dabo actually went back on his official visit policy. And then we also get stuff Florida in locker once again, because Napier is not cooking at all with anything right now at this point when it comes to recruiting.
No, and you know, it's one of those things with, let me address a couple things. Number one, with Napier, Billy Napier in Florida released a letter that was like, I don't remember, like, it was very bizarre. It was like a, hang in there, guys. It was just a weird open letter to the fan base. And it's those situations, right? What's the old saying? If you have to say you aren't something you are, like, if you haven't coached a play of football yet, and you're already having to write open letters to the fan base, letting them know you haven't lost control of the program, that doesn't bode well for your control of the program.
It reminds me of the note from Dirty Shore that was drafted. Like, basically holding it back. And I'm like, you don't really want that to be put out there, because then what happens afterwards, like, it's not really a great thing.
No, exactly. And then the other thing is, you got a enthusiastic commitment from a young man during the dead period in July. So that shows that the staff planted the right seeds during June, which is like big time camp, official visit month. They did some of the right things. This wasn't he was on campus and you kind of, I'm not going to say kids are ever coerced into committing. That's not the right word, but y'all know what I mean. Like, it's always exciting when you're there, you know, you put on the gear, you got the gloves, you know, and you're taking pictures and it's like, hey, you want to commit? It wasn't one of those. This kid had time to go home. By the way, he lives 90 minutes away from Auburn's campus, so he's a local kid. He's a four-star, like Drake said, top 100 kid. This wasn't... So, A, this was you getting a commitment during the dead period, which shows that you're doing the right things during the live periods. Secondly, you beat out Auburn for him in their own backyard. Again, I did the mapping. His high school, 90 minutes away from Auburn's campus. 4 hours from Florida State, a time zone switch in there. So you're definitely not the closest school geographically. Still beat out Auburn. And finally, this isn't one of those, which I know we've celebrated. I won't name names because I don't want it to sound like I'm bashing any of our current players. But you didn't beat out Auburn for a three-star that, like, you both, or like, they kind of wanted and you really wanted. Like, you beat them out for a true SEC caliber, top 100 in the nation football player, which we haven't done in a long time.
Yeah, this is basically, and kind of piggybacking off that, it's always great. Like, we've seen Mark Norvell, like, he's had a lot of, you know, diamonds in the rough kind of finds overall. We've seen him basically, you know, giving Trayshawn Ward the full let go, and how we've seen him, you know, produce. Right now, we also see with Omar Graham coming up as well, Omarion Cooper. But, like, this is a kid that, like you said, we know his talent level. This doesn't come in with a bunch of question marks. Like, okay, is he actually going to be capable of this level? At the very least, his floor is going to be a reserve player on a Power 5 team. But his floor is not going to be basically saying, like, he's possibly a reserve for a group of 5. So this is huge. This is great. And Coach Papp, you know, props to you. The Greek freak out there is actually doing the work real well for us.
Yeah, man. Well done, Papp. Before I do that, I do have to tell the people about Rock Auto, because... Well, I'm contractually obligated, but I also like Rock Auto. Folks, if you have any projects you didn't get to over this long weekend, in your car, not in your house, they can't help with that. Home Depot is your spot for that. You're going to want to check out Rock Auto. They are an interesting blend of an online business with all the creature comforts of that. Easy to search database, large selection of inventory, but they have that kind of small shop feel, in that the way they navigate you to what you need is really simple and really easy to follow. Go to rockauto.com. You'll see what I mean. They don't make you know model numbers. They don't make you know exactly what type of engine your car has. And you're trying to remember, do I have the 3-cylinder or the 2.6 or the 3-liter, the 2.6 liter? I don't know. They just say, hey, what kind of car do you have? You know, what's the problem with the car? Where is it located? Okay, these are the parts you need to fix that. And it's really easy to do business with them. The prices are wonderful. So go to rockauto.com. And in their comment section, they'll say, how'd you hear about us? And you just tell them Locked On sent you. RockAuto.com. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the player himself, about Keldrick Faulk. I think that we've discussed what it means for the program, what it shows on the recruiting trail, how it's important to beat out Clemson and an SEC power in Auburn. But this kid himself, there's a reason that he is the number 9 ranked defensive lineman in the country and the number 84th ranked overall prospect in the country. He's 250 pounds. And Drake, I don't know if you know this, he plays both basketball and wide receiver. He doesn't play tight end. They might call him a tight end, but he legitimately lines up wide. If you go watch his highlight tape, you'll see a couple things. You'll see him make regular catches down the sidelines, which is okay. But then about a minute and a half into his huddle tape, there's this catch where the camera person, and y'all see this at the smaller schools. You know, when you have a school that maybe doesn't have a lot of kids going D1, they don't have the A team on the camera. You know, you see a St. Thomas Aquinas or like a Miami Central highlight tape or say, you know, St. John Bosco, they've got 19 camera angles. It's not like that, but it's worth a watch. He makes a pretty cool contested catch. He's getting hit as he makes it by the safety. He has to bobble it a bit, brings it in. And then the one I love is that at 250 pounds, they sent him on a jet sweep. I shared this one on Twitter. And the dude gets like 50 yards on it. So, yeah, he is just an all-around athlete, and that is what you need on the edge. You need athletes that can get after the quarterback but can also wear down offensive tackles, because it's great to have edge setters, but guys that can really run around tackles all game are very valuable to you in the fourth quarter.
And those kids get paid in the NFL. And do we have Jermaine Johnson 2.0? Question mark? Elite live season? Hot girl summer? What are we doing?
I mean, I don't know. In a couple of years, who knows? I mean, legitimately, I mean, you watch his tape, and I think that he does a couple things really well. He runs with that Jameis Winston lumbering style to him, which looks a little goofy, but I think there's some intentionality to it in that.
I'm not saying, man, I don't know if you want to say that. No. It's always like a slow one. Like,
no, he lumbers. Yeah, he does. He's a big kid, and he looks like he brings every step of 240 down on each foot when he runs. That may need to get cleaned up a little bit, but he does a good job of closing gaps without over pursuing. He's not an edge setter, but he doesn't completely blow containment chasing the quarterback, which a lot of kids at the defensive end position, if they are a true pass rusher, especially as a junior in high school, you'll see that tendency where they just, all they think is get to the quarterback. And he does a pretty decent job. He needs to improve, but does a pretty good job of not just completely disregarding containment. There's one play on his highlight tape where he's out in whatever it would be, like a 6 or 7 technique, like out on the outside shoulder of the boundary tackle, so the narrow side of the field, and he comes all the way across and tackles a runner who went the opposite way, like 2 or 3 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. So it shows that he had good awareness. You know, if again, a lot of kids in his position with his athleticism would have, you know, they have a tendency to get too far upfield. And then if it's a delayed handoff like that, they're never getting to the runner unless they chase him down from behind 15 yards down the field. So plays with good awareness. He's good at holding the edge, but he's an athlete and it shows. And I think that if you let him get in a position where, yeah, he can just pin his ears back and go after quarterbacks, I don't know, give him 2-3 years in a strength program, you could have a really, really nice piece on your hands. So I'm interested to see how he develops.
And then him being paired with a Keith Sampson and also with Lamont Green Jr. Actually, like, well, overall, we have a really damn solid defensive line class coming in. So right now, Pap is coaching his ass off, recruiting his ass off too. And it goes to show that basically we got away for a very long time from, you know, trenches win the games, how Jimbo was always saying. And now we have 10 new offensive line players actually on the roster. We have a lot more kids committed. I'm pretty sure Lucas Simmons will be committing, you know, in the next several weeks before that period is over. And we're winning on both fronts. And like, this is basically how a winning team actually sets up and actually will be perfect for us when we actually make our move to a new conference.
Yeah, and that is a great segue. But before we talk about conference realignment, I want your reaction. Right now, Florida State has 1, 2, 3, 4 recruits in the top 300 nationally. All 4 of them are in the trenches. 3 D linemen, 1 offensive lineman. What's your reaction to that?
As it should be.
Okay, good deal, man. That was very succinct. I am a little worried about the skill positions, but we can get to that later. It is good to see.
I like Vangerius Jacobs and Darren Lawrence a lot better than their ratings are right now. I think that should be a little higher. So
yeah. No, I hope so, man. But hey, let's roll on and let's talk about the shot heard around the world. Schoolhouse Rock is probably going to need to make a video on it. USC, UCLA have left. Well, have announced intentions to leave. They have served divorce papers to the Pac-12, and they are now headed to the Big Ten. Interestingly enough, the Pac-12 now has 10 people, 10 members. The Big Ten now has like 16, but we'll get to that. Built Bar is delicious. It's nutritious. It is 15, 18 grams of protein, depending on what kind you get. It's only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. It's 4 to 5 grams of sugar. It tastes like a candy bar. It hits like a protein bar. I mean, it's basically, I guess, the bar equivalent of a 6'5", 255-pound guy running a jet sweep. You know, you don't really expect it. But boy, are you glad it happened. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off. If it were me, I've told Built Bar this, I'd raise the price by 15% because people pay it because they're so good, but they're giving you 15% off. They're crazy, but hey, take advantage of it. Built.com, promo code LOCKED15. All right, dude, the moment they've all been waiting for, conference realignment. Now, folks, we didn't start with this because there was pressing news to bring you, but this is going to have reverberations through the sport of college football for many years to come. USC, UCLA are headed to the Big Ten, and I'm not going to say I'm not shocked. I'm not going to name names either, but I'm not going to sit here like one of these pretentious journalists and be like, well, I saw this coming. If any journalist tells you they saw this coming, they're lying. No one saw last week these two teams being the first dominoes to fall and jump to the Big Ten right now. In the larger scheme of things, was it predictable? Yes. But it did come out of left field. Drake, what do you think was more impressive? Oklahoma and Texas keeping their split under wraps or this one? Because I feel like this one came a little more out of nowhere, but I can't tell if that's just because they were quicker to confirm it, whereas there was about a week of speculation with Oklahoma and Texas after reports leaked.
So I'm not a journalist, so I can say that I actually was expecting this to happen. No, I'm just joking. No, but to me, it was a lot more, predictable that teams were actually going to probably make a move. And I'm also not surprised that these two teams are actually making a move towards the Big Ten. As me and you have discussed, overall, the Big Ten is they care a lot more about sort of their academic status. I mean, primarily all their schools in the conference currently are AAU programs, except for Nebraska, who lost their AAU status about, I want to say, 10 years ago. So to me, the Texas-Oklahoma thing was a little more.
Who also isn't an original member.
Yeah, that's true. And then with Texas and OU, that to me like was a little more out of left field because those are two programs that, okay, you're going to go over the SEC. Like those are AAU schools, if I remember correctly, both of them actually. And I thought that would make more of a move towards the Big Ten overall. So to me, the USC, UCLA, it was more of a matter of time for them to make a move, but I just didn't think it would be happening maybe more as soon as it did. But now that it has happened, now I think you're going to have all these other schools kind of scrambling to kind of find a new home. And schools like ourselves, I know a lot of people are panicking, but our school, for those who don't know, is the number one most valuable program institution actually out of all the AC schools for Forbes. Clemson doesn't even track Clemson isn't even in the top 20. We're number 15. So it's one of those things where it's basically like, I think we need to be a little more patient, be a little more calculated and see actually where we go overall moving forward. But with USC, UCLA, you could see it happening, but I wasn't going to be over here saying, like, oh, yeah, that happened in middle summer during dead dog days of summer. Yeah, I could tell you that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple ways to go with this, right? And I do want to talk about how it impacts Florida State specifically, but first I want to get at two things. Number one, I think that this is a major escalation in the arms race between the Big Ten and the SEC. Because I think the SEC has known, and I think we've all kind of known, that the Big Ten was the most logical challenger to the SEC's hegemony. Now, we weren't seeing any evidence of that. It made sense. And it was, okay, where are they going to go? What's their next play? But this was a full-blown escalation, right? This was putting missiles in Cuba. I mean, this was like, we knew it was in development. development over in Russia, and now you're 90 miles from our coastline because the Big Ten has now expanded literally coast to coast. And now the SEC has to have an answer for that. And I want to get to my second point before I elaborate on that first one too much, but there is a big question in my mind of, is the SEC really doing anything to expand college football viewership, or are they simply an aggregator where they're going to keep bringing brands in, keep bolting on brands, and that will mean more money for the SEC, but do they have a plan to grow college football as a whole? And my concern, I don't care if the SEC succeeds or not, but what'll be interesting to see is if they stick to this geographically isolated model, they're going to have problems. And again, we knew that, but I think seeing the Big Ten go all the way to California and grab not one, but both schools that dominate the LA market basically says to the SEC, hey, you're not going to be able to just grab the teams in your own backyard. If you want to compete for dominance in this new two school or two conference, you can call it a super league, call it the new status quo. It doesn't matter what you call it, but in the new paradigm that will be college football, which will be a two conference, I think there'll be two main conferences. There'll be one kind of what today is the group of five, and I think that's going to be the Big 12. And then I think there'll be the group of five and the rest and the FCS and all that. And if you want to compete in that as the SEC, you're not going to be able to just be an aggregator of all schools below the Mason-Dixon line. Because it's just not going to be a workable model. So I think the SEC is having to go back to the drawing board, and I think they're realizing things like, I know it was kind of joking, but you can't have your own playoff. It's not going to work. You can't just get school. Again, you're going to have to go west of Texas. And I don't know who it is, but the SEC is going to have to really consider, do you care about your name, or are you going to try to grab an Oregon? Or are you going to try to go out west and grab a Stanford?
I think Oregon's going to make the next move, actually. That was
So I think there's a lot for the SEC to think about. And back to my first point. So my two points were one, it was putting missiles in Cuba. And number two, it showed that you can't be geographically isolated. Interestingly enough, though, is what is the equivalent of geographical isolation for the Big Ten? You mentioned it already. It's the academic standards. Now, I'll address this when I get to Florida State's where they fit in all this. But the Big Ten is not budging on that, and they haven't shown they haven't shown a willingness to, because USC and UCLA are two of the top colleges academically in the entire nation. And I'm wondering, if I'm the Big Ten, can they have their cake and eat it too? Because I think they can. I think you look at the ACC, and now we'll get into the Florida State part, Drake, unless you want to pause and have points you still want to make on the larger thing, but Florida State, UNC, and Duke. Actually, Duke's not public. I'm sorry. Florida State and UNC are both in the top 20 for public universities. Duke is in the top 20 for universities overall as a private institution. Boston College, I think, is like top 30 in public institutions, whichever one I looked at. I think they were like number 28, 29. So you've got a couple schools in the ACC alone. Miami's, I don't know where they rank in private universities, but I know it's high. They have a great medical program and things like that. So I think that they're going to keep that, I don't want to say requirement, but de facto requirement internally. It'll be their unwritten rule of like, we're not going to get rid of this academic requirement. And then Drake, I'll let you talk because I've talked too much, but that's really why I see FSU as a better fit in the Big Ten. You look at the top 40 public universities. And I think by my count, when I looked on Friday, I tweeted it out, Max Moody 17, go check and make sure I am saying it right. But 14 of the top 40 public universities are in the Big Ten. Three are in the SEC. And it ain't because the SEC's got a bunch of private schools. And I think that not initially courting Oregon, and there being, by the way, no smoke about Oregon going to the Big Ten, I think their 86% acceptance rate has something to do with that.
Yeah, I think with Oregon overall, I mean, it's also, I didn't notice, it's almost a top 10 valuable university when it comes to revenue overall, mainly because I know Nike's the big thing over there. I think the SEC strongly actually does need to consider a move for them. I also think Stanford will probably be a coup for them, but I think Stanford, they're a lot more, I think, what's that called? The honor roll bowl that they have, basically when it comes to academics, overall,
I don't know, but Oregon is ranked 99th in national universities. And this isn't like a crap on Oregon, but it is actually, because I took a lot of exception. I thought that was hilarious when Thibodeau was like, I went to Oregon because there's a stigma with Alabama. I'm like, first thing I Google, Oregon acceptance rate, it's like 87%. It's like, dude, if you have a pulse, you get into Oregon. I don't know if you really want
to throw stones in that glass house. How many people apply to Oregon? Because you still got to live in Oregon. That's
a valid point, but still.
But no, with Florida State, though, I think the Big Ten, I mean, you already discussed that. I think it goes back to basically President Earl Barron. Actually, when we were students there, like one of the big things that he wanted to do was to basically have the next person, the next president, actually be able to obtain AAU status for ourselves. And then after Barron left, Thrasher came in as well as the president there. And basically, revenue was up, research grants were up. Acceptance rate went a lot lower, but as we see it now, Florida State is a top 20 public university. And now with the new... That's why I think the election or the not the election, the choosing, the selection of was it President Richard McCullough, who was the
from Harvard,
the Research Institute, that he is primary for AAU, and AAU has three separate requirements when it comes to research, I think entrepreneurship, and also I think it's student alumni, actually after schooling is done. So overall, I think FSU is in a prime spot for that. Also being a top 20 university is also a big, big thing too as well. And then also, I know we have a lot of fans clamoring to want to be in the SEC, like, oh, let's go over there. Let's go play Bam. Let's go play Auburn. Y'all do know the revenue for the Big Ten is substantially a lot larger with the Big Ten than the SEC. Yep. I think projections-wise, the Big Ten with these two new schools coming in is at $120 million per school. At the SEC, I think it's around 75, maybe 80 on a good day. So for something, I also, for ourselves, don't you have an easier path in the Big Ten? Because quite frankly, you have Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, but even the middle teams in the SEC, it's a lot more difficult. And also, their alumni, in my personal opinion, care a lot more about football, even when they're as bad as a school like Vanderbilt.
And again, it's right. It's getting a bigger piece of the pie versus growing the pie. So if you go to the SEC, my argument in a nutshell, you will get a bigger piece of the pie than you get now. You're making $30 million now. You'll make whatever, $70, $80 million there. But is the pie going to grow because you joined or because of something that they did absent of you that you got to be a part of? And the answer is A. Us joining is going to bring more viewers to the SEC. But what is joining the SEC going to do for Florida State other than give us a bigger piece of the existing pie? And the reason I ask it that way is because that's going to happen regardless of which super conference you join. Either way, you're getting a better deal than what you're getting now based on the viewers you're bringing in. But one conference in the Big Ten gives you the opportunity to excel academically and to grow your viewership by taking you to major media markets. And then the other conference just makes you play hard-ass teams in places where you already have a strong fan base and aren't going to gain anymore. Great, you go to Athens. You already have a bunch of fans in Atlanta. You're not going to pick up a whole lot more. And you're already entrenched in the Atlanta media market anyway. Go to Tuscaloosa. Trust me, no one in Tuscaloosa wants to get excommunicated from their family, so they're not going to start cheering for FSU because they saw a Florida State game in the stadium, in Bryant-Denny Stadium. But you go to LA, you might get some fans, right? You get to go up to Michigan, may not get a whole lot of fans, but that's going to be the same level of game that playing Georgia is going to be. And I know, and before people get all offended, Michigan's not as good as Georgia. I get that. But alumni base, fan base wise, national exposure wise, it's just as enticing of a game for Florida State to play Michigan as it is for Florida State to play Georgia in a given random regular season. And we're talking about being in a conference for, what do you say, Drake? The next 25, 30 years. So to me, it's a pretty cut and dry decision. Like I don't, other than us wanting to shrug off the inferiority complex that we all have, and I get it. I don't know about you. It weighs down on me too. Look, we got to be national champions in 2013, but we didn't get to beat Alabama. And all we got to hear about was it was because our schedule was easy during the year. Do I buy into that? No. But I think part of us does want to prove, no, we're just as good as the SEC teams. But hey, let's just make more money than them, get more fans than them, go to better media markets. I'd rather go to LA for away games than go to freaking Norman, Oklahoma. No offense to my friends that went there, but it's not the... You ever been to Norman, Oklahoma? Right? Much rather go to LA. Trust me. All right, folks, y'all know I hate to cut myself off. I mean, I would talk forever if y'all let me. But because I care about you, I try to bring it to you 30 minutes a day, every single day. Well, three times a week during the off season. And I know that Drake was a trooper on this one. He sat through 60 minutes with me, but we're going to split it into two episodes for y'all. So again, thanks for checking out today. Make sure you come back tomorrow for more, not legal advice, but discussion about how Florida State could potentially go to a conference like the SEC or the Big Ten without having to fulfill their obligation to the ACC all the way through 2036. I'm Max, that was Drake, and this was Locked On Seminoles.